Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin daf Chaf Ches. Marenu left off yesterday, daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Le'ashalom. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship and support of the share. So today we are going to cover two primary topics. The first topic that we're going to cover is really a continuation of what we concluded this year with yesterday, which is we had been speaking about the concept of Gilgul Shvuah. The concept of Gilgul Shvuah, of course, is where you are allowed to force somebody to take a Shvuah, even on a subject matter that is not ordinarily conducive or that which applies to Shvuah, because you're making the person take a Shvuah on something else anyway. So, for example, there's a halacha that einish ban ala karkos, that you generally don't take a shvua on karka. However, if you're able to force somebody to take a shvua on metaltolin anyway, then once he's taking a shvua on metaltolin, he could also take a shvua on karka. So we had been searching yesterday for a source for the concept of Gilgul Shvua. We isolated sota as the source of Gilgul Shvua. So just to recap what we did yesterday before we lay out the roadmap for today. So yesterday we were saying that there is the concept of making a woman, of forcing a woman to take a shvuah that she didn't behave inappropriately even when she was engaged, even when she was in arusa. And we were asking, how could it be that he's forcing her to take a shvuah that she didn't have inappropriate relationships when she was in arusa? We know that the only time the meisota works is when the man is free of any sin. If the man is also sinful, if the man also sinned, then the meisota is not going to be bodek the woman. Now, we know that if the woman has inappropriate relations while she's in arusa, then the guy, the husband, is not supposed to marry her and have bia with her because she's acted inappropriately. So how could it be that now they're married, and when they're married, he's making her take a shvuah that she never had inappropriate relations when she was in arusa? If they're ever in that situation, if they're ever in that scenario, it turns out that he didn't act appropriately, and therefore the meisota shouldn't be bodeker. So what we had concluded this year with yesterday was, no, they're married, and the inappropriate relationship or the suspected inappropriate relationship took place while they were married. Once she's taking a shvuah that she didn't have an inappropriate relationship when she was married, we're able to be megalgel aleha shvuah that we also make her take a shvuah that she didn't have an inappropriate relationship when she was engaged as well. So in other words, it's not the primary source, it's not the primary topic of the shvuah rather, but the shvuah that she has to take that she didn't have an appropriate relationship when she was engaged is only a derivative. It's only a Gilgul Shvuah. It's not the primary Shvuah. So far, that's our source for Gilgul Shvuah in the Torah. What the Gemara is going to talk about now is that a valid source for teaching us Gilgul Shvuah, even by Dinei Mamonis? Because that's by Isser V'Heter. But by Dinei Mamonis, how do we know that there is a concept of Gilgul Shvuah? And again, we're going to try to search for another source, for an alternative source for the concept of Gilgul Shvuah in the Torah, one that doesn't play in the arena of Isser V'Heter, but one rather that plays in the arena of Mamonis. The other major topic of this daf, which is starts with the Mishnah on Chaf Chesam and Aleph, going over all the way on Chaf Chesam and Beis, is the topic of Kinyan Chalipin. And again, where we are is we're talking about different types of Kinyanim. Yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about Kinyan Agag. And today we're going to talk about Kinyan Chalipin. So Chalipin is a type of Kinyan where instead of actually making a Kinyan on the object like a Mesira or a Meshicha type of Kinyan, you could give the counterpart something of worth, something that's a Shava Pruta, even if that item that you're not giving to the counterpart has the same value, even if it doesn't have the same value as the item that you're purchasing, and the Kinyan is then effective immediately. We're going to see what types of things are actually eligible to be used as chalipin. Can you use a coin for a Kinyan chalipin? Or is a coin only suitable to be used as monetary payment for something? So that is going to be the primary second topic of the daf. And then at the very end, hopefully we'll cover this off as well and start this Mishnah, learn to the Mishnah on Chaf Tesem and Aleph. We'll see, time permitting. But we are going to outline some distinctions and some differences between a hedyot and hektish when it comes to kinyanim, how there were certain types of powers that we are going to give to Hekdesh that we don't ordinarily give to a Hedyot. And the Gemara is going to walk through certain scenarios, certain fact patterns, and we're going to see how exactly Yad Hekdesh is Alal Yonah, and like what exactly happens, what's the practical nafgamina in the types of kinyonim that Hekdesh is allowed to use that a Hedyot can't use. So again, my Reino left off yesterday, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom, Ashkechan, the first word on the line is Gilgal. So again, where we were is that we found the source for Gilgal Shvua Min HaTorah. That source was Sota. So says the Gemara, Ashkechan to Sota Di Isura. So now you've shown me a Makar, a source for Gilgal Shvua Min HaTorah by Sota, which is Isser Veheter, Mamona Min Alon. How do we know that this applies by Dine Mamanis as well? The Mefarshim explained that even though there is a Dine Mamanis element to Sota, right, because one of the ramifications of her being proven to be a Sota is that she loses her Ksuva has monetary value, therefore causing her to lose her Ksuva is very much a Dine Mamanis issue. Obviously, the Iker of the Din, the Iker of the Din of Sota, the Iker ramification is to establish, is she mutter to her husband? Is she usher to her husband? Is she going to die? Is she going to live? It's very much an Isser Veheter focused type of situation, as opposed to a Dine Mamanis focused type of situation. The Ritva explains that that we can't learn Dine Mamanis from Isser Veheter only through a Binyan Av, but we can learn it through a Kal V'Chomer, which is exactly what the Gemara is going to try to do right now. So says the Gemara, so we know only that there's a concept of Gilgal Shvuah that applies by Sota, which is Isser Veheter. How do we know that the same concept of Gilgal Shvuah applies to Dine Mamanis as well? So Tana Debe Rebbe Shmuel, Kal V'Chomer. It's a Kal V'Chomer. Uma Sota Shalonita Li Tava Beid Echad. Megalgalin, that Madach by Sota, where you can't make a Tvia by Eid Echad. In other words, if one witness comes and says that there was a stira, that there was a seclusion between the two people, then it's not enough. You need Eide Kinui and Eide Stira, emphasis on Eide. There have to be multiple Eidim. So even though you require two Eidim, one Eid is not sufficient. Megalgalin, we are still going to apply the flexible concept of Gilgal Shvua. So Mamon Shenitin Li Tava Be'Eid Echad Ein Edin Shemegalgalin. So Kal V'Chomer, by Mamon, where you can make a Tviya by Eid Echad. Now, Rashi points out that if you approach somebody with one aid, you can't actually take the item from the guy that the aid claims he owes you, but you could force him to take a shvua. So in other words, if there's one aid who comes and makes a taina, you could force the guy into a shvua. Rashi says that this drasha, which is brought down from the Gemara Masechta Shvuos, is from the pasuk of l'chol avon u'l'chol chatas, that an aid echad can't force somebody into like a dispositive situation where he owes a karban, where he's proven guilty, where he's proven to have done something one way or the other. But the Eid Echad can force the person to take a shvua. So again, Madach by Isser, where you require two Eidim, yet there's a concept of Gilgal Shvua. So Alachas Kama V'Kama, by Mamon, where an Eid Echad could force somebody to take a shvua, Ein Adin Shomu Galgalin. So isn't it a Kal V'Chomer that we should apply the concept of Gilgal Shvua? So says the Gemara, Ashkechan Bevadai. Well, that's only a situation of Vadai, where there was originally a Tainas Vadai. But Safek Minalan, how do we know that you could be Megalgal by a Safek as well? So says Rashi. Rashi explains that I understand that there's a concept of Gilgal Shvua where there's a situation, let's say, of Kofar Akol, right? So let's say you have one aid, Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, Shimon, you owe me $100. And he has one aid that Shimon owes him $100, and Shimon is kofar akol. Okay, so in that case, the Eid Echad could force Shimon to take a shvua because the taina that Reuven comes with is a tainas bari, is a taina of certainty. However, how do we know by a situation of suffolk that there is a concept of Gilgal Shvua? Safek, Rashi explains, that we're talking about a taina shema, like a shvua shashutfin, or a risin, or like sharecroppers, like any time you're dividing something, and one of the partners is trying to force the other partner to take a shvua that he didn't take more than his appropriate share, that doesn't present like a cut and dry case where Reuven goes to Shimon and says, you owe me $100, this is, we have a partnership, and I have a suspicion that you're taking a little bit more than 50%. So it's not really that type of cut and dry scenario. That's a suffake scenario. How do I know by a suffake that? That there's a concept of Gilgul Shvuah, and we know that there is a concept of Gilgul Shvuah by suffake, says Rashi again, because the Gemara Masechta Shavuos tells us that if Cholku Ashutvin Varisin Ini Yachal Ashbio, that if they're stam having a dispute over their allocation, over their division of profits, then one is not allowed to force the other to take a Shvuah, because the maximum that they could come with is only a tainas suffek, not a tainas vadai. Biktani, but still in Rashi, Nischayev L'Shvuah Mimokam Acher Megalgan Alav Esakol Alma Suffek Nami Megalgalan. That the Gemara in Shavuot tells us that once one of them could force the other to take a Shvuah anyway for an unrelated reason, then they could also force the guy to take a Shvuah on the partnership. So we know, we see in the Gemara Masechta Shvuos that you could be Megalgal Shvuah even on a taina suffek, but how do I know that? Satania, Reb Sherman Yechai Omer, because as follows, Nemra Shvuah v'chutz v'nemra Shvuah bifnim. It talks about a Shvuah outside, meaning all of these Dine Mamanis type situations, and it also talks about a Shvuah inside. What's the Shvuah inside? The Shvuah inside is the Shvuah that we force a sota to take. That's called a Shvuah inside because the whole sota process takes place in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's called the Shvuah Bifnim. So Ma Shvuah Amura Bifnim Asa Basafek Kavadai, just like by a Shvuah, that just like by a Shvuah, by a Sota, we make a Safek like a Vadai. Av Shvuah Amura Bechutz Asa Basafek Kavadai. So too, by a Dine Mamanis type of Shvuah, we also make a Safek. We also make a Safek like a Vadai. So in other words, the whole concept of Sota itself, let's not forget, is where there's a suspicion. He doesn't know that she Vadai was Mezana. If we have Edom that she was Vadai Mezana, then she doesn't bring the Mesota. Then we just prosecute her through the regular court process. The whole Sota process is Dafka in a situation where there's a Safek. So the whole basis for the concept of Gilgul Shvuah is a situation of Safek. So too, by Dine Mamanis, if we're going to apply Gilgul Shvuah to Dine Mamanis, a food through a Kal V'chomer, we can also make a Safek. We could also make a Safek like a Vadai. So says Tosfos over here. Nemar Shvuah Bifnim. Second Tosfos on the page. Savim Tomar Lamali Kal V'chomer. Why do we even need this Kal V'chomer? Dila Elamar Shemagalgalin Nelef Mehadrasha Gufei Shemagalgalin B'Mama Mishum D'Nemar Shvuah Bifnim V'Nemar Shvuah Bechutz B'Mematzinu. In other words, we brought a Kal V'chomer. We brought a Kal V'chomer that Madach by Sota, where Eid Echad is worthless, still we're going to do Gilgul Shvuah. So certainly by Dine Mamadis, where Eid Echad is meaningful, we're going to do a Gilgul Shvuah. How about we now have a Mematzinu? We have a comparison between Chutz to Pnim. So let's just say, just like we have a Gilgul Shvuah Bifnim, so too we have a Gilgul Shvuah Bechutz. It says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, V'yesh Lomar, Dilav Kal V'chomer, that if it were not for the Kal V'chomer, behind Mematzinu Da'alcha Lo Matzinu L'Meilav, we wouldn't have been able to learn through a Mematzinu, De Mamona Mi'isura Lo Yalfinan, because ordinarily speaking, we don't learn Mamon from Isser. Avabasar de Golilon Hai Kalvachomer de Alfina Mamona Meisura. In other words, says Tosfos, don't be confused. We couldn't rest on a Mematzinu alone. The only way to learn Mamon from Isser is a Kalvachomer. Once we learn out the Shaychas, the comparison of Mamon to Isser from a Kalvachomer, we could then say that the halacha applies equally to them because of a Mematzinu, but only after we have that Kalvachomer. Imke Mehashtram of Kinan Shapir Baha Mematzinu Lasa Safe Kavadai. So once we have the Kal V'chomer, we can rest on the Mematzinu. That's Tosfos's lumdus over here. Now he says, in the end of Tosfos, V'yomer Rebbe, Shelo al kol asfekos megalgalin. That when we say that we're megalgal shvua ala safek, not all sfekos are created equal. Shem nischayev adam lechaveru shvua. For example, if a person is chayev a shvua to his friend, ene yachol legalgal lo velomar hishavali shelo ganaftali shum davar meolam. Swear to me that you never stole anything from me in your entire lifetime. Ella, because you have no basis even to suspect the guy that he ever stole anything from you. Ella dafka besofek sheishol and alachas ksas could go nasalo shuta for oris tichiyai gavna mina besof kolan shbond and megalgalin. It's only where these guys find themselves in a relationship where there's some basis to assume that there is a dispute, that there's a monetary dispute, and therefore there's a basis for Gilgul Shvuah. For example, they have a partnership, they have a sharecropping relationship. It's shayich that they owe money one to the other. There's a division, there's an allocation that has to go between them, and we don't know whether they have allocated properly. But stomp to pick a topic out of thin air and to say, make a shvua that you never stole from me, that we're not, that, in other words, that's not the type of suffix that, that's a groundless suffix. The only type of suffix that we're going to apply Gilgul Shvua to is where there's a basis, where there's a good faith basis for the suffix. Says the Gemara now Baiter, Ad Heichan Gilgul Shvua. So how far does the concept of Gilgul Shvua go? In other words, once somebody is forced to take a Shvua to you, what other types of Shvuos can you impose on him? Some Rav Yehuda Marav, the Amar Lei, Yishavali, Shein Avdiyata, that the guy could say, swear to me that you're not my Eved. Says the Gemara, Ha'u Shemute Meshmatina Lei. You're going to force the guy to take a Shvua that he's not your Eved? If you go around making baseless accusations that somebody else is your Eved, then you know what we do to you? We put you in cherem. We don't make the guy take a shvua that he's not your eved. We put you in cherem for saying that. So the Tanya, because we learn in a brisa, hakori lechavero eved. If a person calls his friend an eved, yehi benidui, then he should be put in. He should be put in cherem. Why? Because Rashi says he's being mezalzel in another Jew, and therefore we're going to be mezalzel on him, and we're going to put him in cherem. It's like a midah. It's like a mida keneged mida. And the mida keneged mida aspect is said explicitly in Tosfos in the middle of Tosfos Dibur Maskala Kore. He says vahainu mida keneged mida klomar hu kar lechavero eved hu arur, that he called his friend an eved which is cursed. Therefore, we also curse him with an arur, the hainu nidui, which means putting him in cherem. And Tosfos says that the other things that we're going to say in the Gemara right away are also mida keneged mida. So we said that if you call somebody else an eved, then you're put in cherem. Mamzer, if you call somebody else a mamzer, then sofeg esar bom, then you get malchus. Why? Because by calling the guy a mamzer, you're saying that he's the product of an illicit relationship for which the perpetrators are chayiv malchus. In other words, you're claiming that a lav was violated. Therefore, you know what happens to you? You get malchus just like a guy who violated a lav, because this is all mida keneged mida. Again, this is what Tosfos says over here in the end of this. Tosfos divrei maskal akore. So Russia, yoredim alachayiv. If you call somebody else a Russia, then you're allowed to compete with him in business. You're allowed to cause him financial hardship and financial loss. Why? Rashi explains that even though Basin is not going to be Nizkak, Basin is not going to force him to give anything up, we are still going to permit you to take matters into your own hands as a matter of self-help, and you're allowed to do what you need to do in order to recoup financial loss from this person. And there happens to be a Tosfos which says that when we say Yoredim Alechayev, we mean that we permit the guy to burn up to a third of the other guy's, up to another guy's tvua. So where do we see that you're allowed to burn up to a third of his tvua? So the Tosfos Riyazakin explains, no, this is also mida keneged mida. In other words, if you call somebody a Russia, nobody is going to want to do business with that guy. Nobody is going to want to associate with that guy. So you are causing him financial hardship by calling him a Russia. So too, we are going to cause you financial hardship because you called him a Russia. This is all in the same notion of mida keneged mida. So says the so the reason that we're bringing all this down is because we had asked at Heichan Gilgul Shvua that how far does Gilgul Shvua go, and we had said that you can even force somebody else to take a Shvua, swear to me that you're not my Eved, if you have another reasonable basis, if you have another realistic Shvua to impose on him. And we had said, really, you're allowed to force somebody to take an Eved that he's not your Shvua, that he's not your Eved? I thought if you call somebody else an Eved, you're going to get put in a Cherem. And if you do all these other bad things, if you call these other types of names to people, then you're going to suffer the repercussions in a mida keneged mida basis. How could you tell me that Gilgul Shvua applies, that you're even going to force the guy to take a Shvua that he's not your Eved? Not only do we not force him to take a Shvua, you're put in cherem if that's what you do. Says the Gemara, Ela Amarava, Hishavali Shalonim Kartali Be'Eved Ivri. No. We're not saying that he's not degrading a Jewish person and saying, oh, swear to me that you're not my Eved Kanani. What he's saying is, I know you're a Jew, but swear to me that you weren't sold to me as an Eved Ivri. And we know that when is somebody sold as an Eved Ivri? Somebody is sold as an Eved Ivri if he steals from somebody and lacks the money to pay back. In that case, Beis Din will sell this person as an Eved Ivri. So it turns out that by saying, swear to me that you weren't sold to me as an Eved Ivri, it is like a little bit of a Dine Momenes type of tvia. In other words, he's saying, swear to me that you didn't owe me money that you weren't able to repay. So haitan asama al yasihi. So Momenes ligabe, so says the Gemara, well, Gilgul Shvua, I mean, that's a valid taina. That really is a din of Dine Momenes. Why? Because, again, if the guy owed somebody money, either because of a theft or because of a loan, and was unable to repay, then he would be sold as an Eved Ivri. So this isn't a Gilgul Shvua, this is like a primary type of Taina. Says the Gemara, Rava Letame, Dama Rava, Eved Ivri Gufa Kanoi. No, because Rava says that Eved Ivri is Gufo Kanoi. In other words, Rashi explains that Gufa Kanoi, the Guf of the Eved Ivri, is Kona to him, and therefore it's like Karka. The Eved Ivri is like Karka. In other words, it's not considered to be a Tainas Mumen, it's not considered to be a Tainas Metaltolin. Says the Gemara, well, then that's too good, right? You've proven too much. Iachi Hainu Karka. If so, then it's Karka, and we already know the whole reason that we're even on this topic of Gilgul Shvua. It's because we know that even though you don't take a shvua on karka, if you're taking a shvua on the talmud anyway, we're going to even galgal a shvua on karka. So now you're asking me, how far does Gilgul Shvua go that you're even allowed to force somebody to take a shvua that he wasn't sold to you as an Eved Ivri? But if we're going to say that Eved Ivri gufa konoi, so it turns out that the Eved Ivri is really considered to be like karka. So we're asking, how far does Gilgul Shvua go? We're even able to force a Gilgul Shvua on a situation of karka. Well, that's the whole basis for Gilgul Shvua that led us to this whole discussion. That's not even a chiddush. Says the Gemara, Ma v'teima karku davdi inshi demezavim mitzina im isa dezavim les leikala. No. I might think there's a basis for forcing Gilgul Shvua by regular karka, because not every sale of land is advertised. Right, there's a reason the rabbi said yesterday, well, you might want to keep your sales of land quiet so that people shouldn't think you're liquidating your assets. And therefore, I might think there's actually a basis for forcing a shvua because it's possible that land was sold without it being publicized. But hi, Yamisa the Zoven, Kala Islay. But over here, if the guy was actually sold as an Eved Ivri, he sold by Beis Din, he sold in a court process. It's very, very public. So I might think there's no reason to be Megalgal Shvua because we would have known if he was sold as an Eved Ivri. Kamash Malan, we are still going to be Megalgal, a Shvua because we do say it is a Taina Malia. So we do say that even though ordinarily speaking there was a kol associated with people being sold as an Eved Ivri, it is possible that this guy was sold without any public notice, and therefore we are going to force a Gilgul Shvua on that case in this situation. Okay, so that's the end of the Mishnah. Now we conclude, that's the end of the Gemara rather, we're going to continue with the next Mishnah. This next Mishnah is going to talk all about the concept of Kinyan Chalipin. So the Mishnah says as follows now. Kol anase damim bi'acher. Anything which is used as payment, i.e. money. So in other words, money. And now, ordinarily speaking, even though money is used actually to purchase, like money is used as mos, that if something is worth $100, you're going to pay $100 for that object, it is possible for money to be used as a kinyan chalipin as well. So we're going to see that there's a type of money which is used as money and a type of money which is used as chalipin. So kivan shezach hazeh nischayev zeh b'chalipin. That once the counterparty takes the money, the other guy who gave the money is kona the item immediately, even if he doesn't make another chazaka on it, even if he doesn't pay the full value of the item, because he's not buying the item with the money in the capacity as mos, he is paying the money in the capacity as chalipin, and therefore the kinyan is going to be effective, immediately. So how do you know then whether you're giving money? Let's say I go to the store and I try to buy something and I pay for the item. So ordinarily speaking, we're going to see that mos ain't a konos. So whether mos are konos medivrei Torah or mos are not konos medivrei Torah, it's a fundamental shas machlokas. But mos are not konos. In other words, I am not kona the object until I actually make an act of acquisition, until I somehow make a chazaka on the object. Either I do a meshicha or I do a mesira, depending on what the object is, we see. So how do I know the difference between whether I'm giving the money qua money or whether I'm giving the money qua chalipin? Because we said that if I'm giving the money qua chalipin, then I'm kona the item immediately. So how do we know? So the Rashba says there are a couple of ways that we know. First of all, sometimes you stipulate in advance that you're paying the money as chalipin. Or sometimes the lokeach says that he wants the money back, and the only time he gets the money back is if it's chalipin, because if it's used as mamon, he's obviously not getting the purchase price back. Or they stipulate which money they want to be used as the purchase price. Now, ordinarily speaking, money is fungible, so if you're actually accepting payment for something qua money, you don't really care what bills are used. It doesn't matter as long as the guy's paying your purchase price. But if it's chalipin, you might have a... you might have a preference as to which money is used. So again, money can be used as chalipin. That's the fundamental principle of the first two lines of this Mishnah. Kol anasa damen ba'acher, money, kivan shezachan ez chayev zev chalipin. Chetzad, what's the case of this? An example, hichlif shor bepara, if you are machlif a shor bepara, o chamor b'shar, or a donkey for an ox, kivan shezachan ez chayev zev chalipin. Once one person is kona the first item, the other guy is kona the second item in a kine chalipin. The Gemara is going to be all over this and ask right away, you just told me in the beginning of the Mishnah, money can be used as chalipin. And then when I ask you for an example, you talk to me about trading a cow for an ox. Where's the money? So that doesn't really make any sense. Says the Gemara, chalipin mainiu. What is chalipin? So matbeya. So chalipin is a matbeya. It's a coin. So shmamina matbeya nasa chalipin. So we see that matbeya can be used for chalipin. That it is valid to use money as chalipin. The problem is that the Gemara Baba Metzia tells us and winds up concluding that matbeya cannot be used for chalipin. So how do I have a Mishnah here in Maseches Kedushin that says that money can be used as a kinyan chalipin? The Gemara Baba Metzia tells me otherwise. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Achi Kamar Kolan Nitzum Damim Ba'acher. Anything whose value must be assessed, meaning what is the type of item where the value has to be assessed? That's any type of metalkalin other than money. Money doesn't have to be assessed because we know how much the money is worth because the face value of the money. However, any other item which has to be assessed, in other words, any other type of metalkalin can be used as chalipin. Kivan shezachazeh, turning to chaf chafsam abeis, nischayev zeh bechalipin. Once one person makes a kinyan, he is kone from the other person immediately. Dekanami, and you want to know another proof that we're not talking about matbeya, we're talking about kolan nisum damim ba'acher, anything which is assessed, anything which is appraised, and not kolan nasa damim ba'acher, we're not talking about money, because we say in the Mishnah, ketzad hichlif shor b'poro chamor b'shar shmamina. Now, because when we give an example, we talk about what happens if you trade two movable objects. Now, when you're using two movable objects in the kinyan, that is quite obviously not an example of using money for chalipin, and that's how we know that we're not talking about kolan nasa damim ba'acher, but rather we're talking about kolan nishom damim ba'acher. We're talking about metaltalin, not money. It says the Gemara, but ulmaylo salakadaita meikar d'matvei nasa chalipin, my ketzad. According to the Havamin, according to the Pashat reading of our Mishnah, which implies that we're talking about using money for chalipin, how exactly was the Hemshech of the Mishnah an example of the halacha which was brought down in the beginning of the Mishnah? So hachi kamar, peiros nami avdi chalipin. There's something that's left out of the Mishnah. Money is good for chalipin. You know what else is good for chalipin? Peiros. Peiros are also good for chalipin. Ketzad, what's an example of that? Hichlif besar shor. If you trade the meat of an ox bepara for a cow, o besar chamor beshar, or besar chamor or donkey meat for a shar, kivin shazachazen is chayev zeh bechalipin. Now besar shar is called peros because all metaltalin, which are not kalim, are called peros. In other words, there are two categories of metaltalin. There's peros and there's kalim. Animal meat is obviously not a kli, therefore it's a pri. And this is a raya that peros can be used as a chalipin. Says the Gemara, okay, but now you've sort of backed yourself into a corner, because honey, Rav Sheshes Nimar Peres Avdi Chalipin. That is good according to Rav Sheshes, who says that you could use Peres for Chalipin. Elul Rav Nachman Nimar Peres Lo Avdi Chalipin, Ma'ikala Meimar. But according to Rav Nachman, who says that Peres cannot be used for Chalipin, what can you say over here? So how do you interpret this? Why would Rav Nachman say that Peres cannot be used for Chalipin? So the reason that Rav Nachman says that peres cannot be used for chalipin is because the makar for chalipin is in Megillas Rus. V'shalaf ishnalo v'nasan l'reyeyu. It's when Boaz affected a kinyan by giving a shoe. A shoe is a kli. A shoe is not peres. A shoe is not a pri. And therefore, only kalim could be used for chalipin, not peres. So says the Gemara, you know how I'm going to interpret this? Hachinami yesh damim shehem kichalipin. That there are money like chalipin. In other words, we're now back to the first interpretation. We're not talking about peros. We're talking about money. There is money which is going to be able to be used as chalipin. Ketzad hichlif demeshar bepara o demechamor beshar, where you trade the value of a shar for a para, or the value of a chamor for a shar. So what exactly is this situation talking about? Because to me, if you tell me that you're trading the value of a shor for a para, I'm envisioning a transaction where the para is worth $100 and you're paying $100. Says Rashi, no, that's not quite what's happening here. So Rashi, it's about halfway down the page, still in the skinny lines. Ketzad hichlev demei shor b'para, mokolo shor b'mana. So let's say you sold somebody else a shor for $100, umashcho, v'nizchayev lozem hamana. And the buyer does a kinyan meshicha, and now he owes $100 to the seller. Samar lo amocher, and then the seller says, you know what, yesh lecha para litem bedamim. Do you have a para to trade for me, to trade instead of the $100? In other words, you owe me $100 because I sold you an ox and you already made a kinyan. But instead of giving me $100, you have a cow worth $100 that you could give to me. Samar lehein, so he says yes. Shama lo b'mana, so they assess the cow as being worth a mana. Oh, bepras, or whatever it is. Amar lo mechor ashor, Amar lo mochor ashor, and the mochor ashor says, Are mos shatachayev li nesunim lecha bedamea, mos halolu konim below mashichas para kachalip in the kalim. In other words, there was already a kinyan on the shor made. Now the seller is owed $100. And the seller says, you know what, instead of paying me $100, you have that, you rolled up in a great car, or you have a great cow, I want your cow. Once the other guy says yes, he's kone the cow immediately. Why? Because it's as if they traded the shor for the para. So that's the type of chalipin that we are talking about here. So says the Gemara, so my taima, so why is it that chalipin would work in this case? So back in the Gemara, so sabar lo k'Rav Yochanan, because he holds like Rav Yochanan, the Yomar, Dvar Torah mos konos, that because Dvar Torah, Mina Torah, mos are effective at completing a kinyan. Umatam amru mashicha kona, why do we say that you require mashicha, gzeirah shema yomar lo nisfrichitach abaliyah? Because we're afraid that if mos konos, then as soon as the seller accepts monetary payment for an item, he's going to relinquish all responsibility regarding the item. He's not going to safeguard the item to the full extent possible. In other words, if he has the item in a storehouse and a fire breaks out, because Mo is Kone and he knows that the grain which is in his granary is already in the possession of the lokeach, is already in the possession of the purchaser, he's not going to make an effort to try to save the grain because he doesn't care. He's been paid anyway. And therefore we said that, you know what, it's not going to leave the mokar's reshus until the lokeach does a meshicha. The mokar is going to remain on the hook. He's going to retain achrayis. Because the mocha is going to retain achrayas, he's going to make sure to safeguard the item. So ordinarily speaking, we say mos ein akonos. So milsa d'shchiyach gazra be'rabanan, milsa d'shchiyach la gazra be'rabanan. That milsa d'shchiyach la gazra be'rabanan. In other words, the only reason, the only time, the only situation in which I have to make a gzera, not to have mos konos, where the money shouldn't be kona effective immediately, is only where there's a normal transaction. So the way people normally transact is you walk into a store, you want to pay the guy $100 for something, and you want to take an item back in return. That's a regular way sale, and therefore in that situation, we have to safeguard and say mos are not going to be kona. It's not going to be effective immediately. We're going to require you to make a meshicha. However, how prevalent, how common is a situation where you owe somebody $100, and then the guy says, oh, you know what? You owe me $100, but in lieu of paying me $100, you could pay me in kind with something else that you have. That's not a common situation at all, and because it's not a common situation, there was no reason to be gozer that Moz should not be kone. Says the Gemara, that's only good according to Rabbi Yochanan. However, Ula Reish Lakish Demar Mashiach Mufareshes Minat Torah, but according to Reish Lakish, who says that Mashiach is Mufareshes Minat Torah, in other words, Moz ain't a kone. It's not that Moz are kone, but the Chachamim made a gzera that you need Mashiach. Moz are not kone at all. So Hanichi Yisavar Lakarav Sheishes Demar Peres Avdi Chalipin. So now we're back to the problem. We're back to where we started. We can't be talking about using money. We got to be talking about using Peres. Using Peres for Chalipin. That's good if you all like Rav Sheshes, who says that you could use Peres for Chalipin. Metaris could Rav Sheshes. Eli Isavar Lakarav Nachman, Yamar Peres Lavdi Chalipin, Rabbeah Lokani. But if you want to hold that Peres cannot be used for Chalipin, and Matbeah is never Kone, so in other words, money is never Kone immediately, whether you intend on using the money as payment, as regular purchase price, or whether you intend on using the money as chalipin. So, but my mukila, so how are we going to interpret this Mishnah? Al karchak Rav Sheshes, says the Gemara, you're right. We have to interpret it like Rav Sheshes. We have to say that we are talking about a situation where we're using peiros as chalipin, not money, because money can never be used for chalipin. Aye, that pigeonholes us into the sheet of Rav Sheshes, because it's only Rav Sheshes who says that peiros could be used for chalipin, whereas Rav Nachman says you need kalim, not peiros. You're right, says the Gemara, that this man yamar, we'll have to interpret the Mishnah like Rav Sheshes and not like Rav Nachman. Okay, says the Mishnah now weiter. So Rishus HaGavoa B'Kesef. Hektish is Kone with Kesef. And in other words, Rashi explains that the Gemara is going to explain for us that Mos Konos by Hektish, that even though ordinarily speaking, again, we saw that Mos are not Kone, either Mos are not Kone even on a Deraisa level, or on a Deraisa level they are Kone, but V'cham Medegzera Shemi Yermolo Nisvruchi Techa Balia, and therefore Mos are not going to be Kone. By Hektish, we don't make any similar type of Gzera. We're Shosa Hedyot B'Chazaka. However, by Shosa Hedyot, we need a Chazaka. The Miri explains we're obviously talking about Metaltalin, because by karka, you are kone through a chazaka. Karka is nikne through kesef, shtar, or chazaka. But we're talking about metaltalin, for example, where there is a kinyan meshicha or a kinyan mesira required, and we are not talking about the type of chazaka that would apply by karka, for example, noal, gadur, or paratz, if you work the karka. Okay, so again, hektish could be kone even with money. Hedyot is kone only with a chazaka. And then the Mishnah concludes by saying that if you make a verbal commitment to Hektish, that verbal commitment is already as good as done. In other words, that is an enforceable binding commitment, unlike by Hedyot, where there's some act of Kinyan which is required along with a verbal declaration. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad, Rishos Gavoa beHektish. What do you mean that a Rishos Gavoa is Kona with Hektish? Says the Gemara, Sa Gizbar Shanasa Mos beBehema. If a Gizbar, if the temple treasurer, if the treasurer for the Beis HaMikdash pays for a cow, Afilu Behema Besofa Olam, even if the Behema is at the end of the world, Sa Kona, he is going to be Kona as soon as he pays for the cow. Ubehedyot Lo Kona Achi Yimshoch. However, by Hedyot, he's not going to be Kone until he actually does a Meshicha. So what's an example, what's an illustration of the Seif of the Mishnah? So what's an example of that? Says the Gemara, Ha'omer Shorze Ola, Bayis Ehektish, if you say that this ox should be an Ola, this house, I'm consecrating this house, Afilu b'sofa olam kana, even if the shor is on the other side of the world, it is still a valid hektish. It's still a valid declaration of hektish. However, behedyot lo kana, by a hedyot, you're not going to be kona achi yimshach until you actually do a meshicha v'yachzik, and until you make a chazaka. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter. Moshko b'mana, if you do a meshicha when the item is worth, when the object is worth a mana, v'lo hispik livdoso ad she'amad b'masayim, but you weren't pode the item from hektish until the value increased and reached $200. Says the Gemara, so no se masayim. So you're going to have to give $200 to hektish. It's not enough to give $100 to hektish. Why? My time of anasana kesef v'kam lo. And that's because the pasuk talks about the item transferring into your rishus when you actually pay hekdesh, not when you make the chazaka, not when you do the meshicha, but rather when you pay. Until you pay, you don't own it, and therefore, if it appreciates in value before you can pay, you're on the hook paying for the increase in value. The Mefarshim explain that's only if you actually want to buy the item. If you want to back out because you don't want to pay $200, then you don't have to do anything, because the whole point is that by hektish, the meshicha didn't work. You actually have to transfer the money. The money has to transfer hands from one person to the next. Now, mashko b'masayim, if you did the meshicha when it was worth $200, below hispik liftoso acha amad b'maneh, and you didn't have a chance to pay until it devalued, and now it's only worth a maneh, no simasayim. Then you have to give $200. I have to give $200. I thought that I'm only kone when I pay. If I haven't paid and now it's only worth $100, why in the world would I have to give $200? I should lechora only have to give $100. Says the Gemara, lo yeh koach hediot chomer mehektish, because we're not going to put hektish in a disadvantage relative to a hediot. In other words, if this were a hediot, you would have been kone the item as soon as you did the meshicha. You would have been on the hook for the $200. So we're not going to allow you to pay less to hektish than you would have to pay for a hediot. Says the Gemara now, Padav Masayim, if you redeemed it when it was worth $200, v'lo hispik lemoshcho ad she'amed b'maneh, so you paid for it already when it was worth $200, but you didn't get to do the meshicha until it's worth $100, no se masayim, you're going to have to give $200. My time of anasana kasev akamlo, because we already said that we follow the timing for the transfer of money and not anything else. Poda b'mana. If, however, you were poda with a mana, v'lo hispik l'mosho acha amad b'masayim, and now it went up in value, and by the time you do the meshicha, it's worth $200. Samasha poda padui. What he redeemed is redeemed. In other words, because he already paid for it when it was worth $100. When it was worth $100, ve'nosen ela l'mana, and he doesn't have to. He only has to pay a mana. Says the Gemara, Amai, Hachanami Neima Loye Koach Hedyot Chomer Mehektish. Why over here does he get away with paying only $100? Why do we say that the Koach Hedyot shouldn't be Chomer than the Koach of Hektish? Because by a Hedyot, the Mocher is allowed to be Choser on the transaction. The Mocher is allowed to be Choser on the transaction, saying, listen, now it's worth $200. I don't want to sell it to you for $100. So by a Hedyot, the Mocher could force the Lokeach to pay an extra $100. Therefore, why by Hektish do we not force the guy to pay the extra $100? Says the Gemara, Atu Hedyot Lav Misha Parakoi. Yeah, but if it was a Hedyot, then true, technically speaking, he is able to retract from the transaction, but if he did retract from the transaction, he would be subject to a Misha Para. He would be subject to a curse, and therefore we are not going to put Hektish in a situation where it would be subject to a curse. The Rashba explains that we wouldn't actually put the Gizbar in a Misha Para. We wouldn't actually curse the Gizbar if he's Choser on the Mekach, because the Misha Parah is only by a private individual who backs out. We're not going to impose a Misha Parah on Hektish, but it's basically not a balabatish way for the Gizbar to behave if he's going to behave in a manner that would subject a private individual, a private citizen, to a Misha Parah, to a curse. We are not going to permit the Gizbar to behave in that way. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the next Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.